And we're back. Welcome to WNGS Radio. I'm Sean Spence.
I'm Dion DeGennaro.
And
we're live from the field house.
Yeah, can you hear everybody? It's kind of a weird murmuring in the background.
Just a nice, steady white noise,
you know.
Clinking of glasses, Mexico, Argentina on the TV, moonshine in front of me.
I'm having a cider. We've got Cabbage Patch FC over here celebrating their co-ed rec league championship by putting ice down their sweatpants, which is...
It's a hard-fought game.
Yeah, not something I've seen before.
So I was walking in, setting up everything, sitting here, and just thinking about how fucking surreal this is, like, that all of this is happening, and it's not a dream. It's... This is real.
Yeah, that's my morning routine, is to walk in and go, hey, I work here.
Like, helped
this is my job.
Make this.
Yeah.
Like, this is nuts.
It is nuts.
So, in addition to the clubhouse, there's a couple other small pieces of news.
Right.
Q Earth's getting new turf.
Right. That's a tiny bit of news.
Tiny bit of news. You know. And we're a fucking pro team now.
Oh, what do you know? We're going pro, y'all.
Finally, after months of waiting, MPSL Pro was announced. We are one of 11 teams in the league.
Right.
That's also pretty surreal.
Right. I would expect, I mean, we'll talk about this later, but I would expect that when we actually kick off in 2020... that will probably be more than 11 teams. That we kind of have a proof of concept thing happening right now. So we'll see how that goes.
Before we get into all the MPSL Pro stuff, I want to talk about just the field house, because this is a pretty groundbreaking thing that I think a lot of people are interested in, not just in Detroit, but kind of around the country, because... There's, to my knowledge, you know, there's been some like, club restaurants, like the Rowdy Den for the Rowdies is one that comes to mind for me.
Sporting Kansas City has something.
Yeah, they've got, like, a club
bar. But it's in a separate
bar.
Commercial development.
Yeah. So this is kind of a fresh idea, a new thing that the club is undertaking, and that you've had, you know, a big hand in helping make a reality. Walk us through the last 2 months of your life.
we opened just a little more than 3 weeks ago, I think.
Okay,
I think
so it was, you know, almost a month in now.
October 27th is when we opened.
Okay, that's the big day.
We had been shooting, when I was hired in mid-August, to try to get us open by October 1st. And, you know, that was a very optimistic timeline.
Like 2 months.
Like a month and a half. But what we discovered, I mean, just to kind of try not to get too much into the weeds about this, but there's a lot of construction happening in Detroit right now. And what that means is that your contractors are not really super into completing things for you, because they've got plenty of work.
Yeah.
So we had some difficulties relating to getting services completed in here.
Yeah.
But really, we've been able to push through them and open a bar and restaurant in a space that was entirely a banquet hall, kind of an empty, bombed out nothing, you know.
Yeah,
been empty for 4 years.
It looked like the set of like Terminator 2, Judgment Day, just debris everywhere and blown out walls.
Like there was a staff of 20 who were told we need to leave in 6 hours, take everything important, and they tore everything out of the walls and left.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what we were left with. What it looked like.
Getting this up and running and getting through the many, many layers of inspections and
that's another
all
thing.
That.
With, like, Wayne County, there's a lot of hoops to jump
through.
There was.
I've done some project management stuff in different... a lot of it was in Houston, which doesn't have zoning.
What?
So it was a little easier. Detroit is a lot more, you know, codified and locked down about what you can do and what you can't do. Every step along the way, you've got people whose livelihood is making sure you've checked these things off. So You know, they keep you honest.
Yeah.
You can't half-ass a restaurant
in Detroit.
Which is fine. You know,
we
got open and, you know, we're able to provide affordable food and drink for anybody who comes in.
Yeah.
Now, the field house is a different layer of the development.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think makes this super special is that we've got these two things right alongside each other.
That complement each other.
Right, exactly. So we got the field house, which is two field houses, really.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, we have youth programs and adult leagues running all the time. And, you know, if you're an adult who has a child in this program, you realize the difference as soon as you come to training, where your kid's in training and you got to watch. I mean,
yeah,
it's, you know,
of course,
you're usually sitting there on your little chair on the sidelines, you're freezing. Here you're warm and you're comfortable. You're sitting at a table. You can have a glass of wine. You can have some food. It's entirely different.
Yeah.
Waiting that hour and a half for your kid here than it would be anywhere else. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
We got a lot of rec leagues right now. One of our main things we do is serve beer and food to people who have just finished a rec league game and want to talk a ton of shit about it.
Of course.
So there's a lot of shit talking happening right now.
That's all part of it.
Right.
It's part of the experience.
Right, exactly. You know, it's working as intended if you're talking shit. We're, you know, continuing to grow the business in every direction. We're still at that early stage where, you know, sales are kind of doubling every week, so we don't know.
We don't know what to expect.
Yeah, we're constantly kind of running out of things and scrambling.
Every time I've come in, you guys have been out of Rock and Rye.
So I'm just going to say that Vidal is the name of our Faygo rep. Vidal, if you're listening to this, please call me back, man. I've been calling you since last Thursday. We're out of Faygo. All we have is one can of Diet Moon Mist. It's the saddest.
No one drinks that. That's saddest the only
can.
Reason.
Well, like, we've gone through, that means we've gone through 11 Diet Moon
everything
Mist to get to
else.
That one last can.
Have you gone through everything else?
Everything else
are
is
you
gone.
Like, someone's asked, like, do you have Faygo? You're like, all we have is
kinda,
Diet Moon Mist.
Yeah, we have Diet Moon Mist.
Everyone's least favorite.
Yeah, then they look really sad and they leave.
So you have a ton of experience in the restaurant business.
I mean, yeah.
How would you say opening or like operating the field house compares to your previous restaurant experience? Like, what's different about this than, say, working at, you know, a fast casual dining restaurant?
Well, you know, I think the main difference is that everyone's kind of bought in to the idea that we're doing here so far.
Yeah.
We've got, like, the customers we've had so far have been very, you know, positive and sort of, I haven't had a lot of, you know, I want to speak to your manager conversations.
Oh, that's actually great.
Partly because I think we're, you know, we're not super busy, so it's easy to kind of please people.
The clientele that comes in kind of also knows what to expect.
Right. I mean, we've got a distinctive culture here, and we've just tried to kind of just continue that, leverage that, and not, you know, not interrupt that in any way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's, I mean, hugely important to us as, you know, restaurant people is, you know, because what you're striving for is kind of delight, right? And when you can get there, you know, fairly often, you know, I think we're offering, you know, surprisingly good food at a low
price
point.
Very surprisingly good food. Like, you really wouldn't, like, when you look at your menu, you're like, what am I getting? Like, what, a pie?
Right.
Like, a meat pie. Like, what is that? But no, it's like, they're unbelievably good for what it is.
Right.
I mean, it's simple and delicious.
Like, what we found is that, you know, obviously our pies are not made with a traditional dough. They're made with a puff pastry, which is vegan. So that gets us out of a lot of trouble in terms of trying to
please everyone.
Vegan thing. Yeah. But also is a delicious way to wrap, a delicious thing to wrap around pretty much anything. Like, for example, for the Copa Libertadores final, we're going to do a steak and chimichurri.
Oh, God, it's the weight of my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no,
it's just like, you know, I'm just going to get some.
God, now I really can't wait to come down here.
That's going to be great. That's Saturday. And we're going to start to do partnerships. We're working on a partnership with El Rey to do a Mexican chicken pie.
oh man, I'm super excited. You know,
we're really looking at the whole breadth of world cuisine and seeing what we can put inside a puff pastry and bake.
you guys are creating your own cuisine,
right?
Essentially,
it's kind of amazing. And we have Schrodinger's kielbasa, which I think I've eaten until today. I've eaten one for like 10 straight days.
get old.
Basically, my staff was making so much fun of me. I had to just kind of chill on
the
kielbasa.
You're eating all the sausage.
Right. They're like, oh my God, are you seriously getting another kielbasa? But I mean, it's so good.
They're like timelessly good. Like, right. You can just always eat them.
Right. And, you know, we got a lot of beer.
Yeah, so. That helps. Beer, a lot of moonshine.
Right. We got moonshine now. That is, if you aren't part of the bottle club, it's $125 a bottle, and it stays here. But what it is a kind of a lit fuse on your social life. Just come back in here, and it'll explode for you.
You never know what's going to happen when you're walking into the field house.
Right, exactly.
And there's moonshine there waiting for you.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, you don't know. You may not be drinking yours. A friend of yours has their bottle down, and they're just passing stuff out. That's the way it works.
Yeah. It's like kind of a free-for-all.
Right.
And so I've been down here 4 times in the last week and a half.
Yeah.
And I don't live particularly close to the field house. It's not that far, but right. I'm not like right around the corner.
Right. Yeah,
and
it's like half an hour.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like about a half an hour. And every time I come in here, it is a hilariously interesting experience. I never know what I'm going to see.
Right. Let's put that on our Yelp review. Yeah. Hilariously interesting.
No, so like I actually, even to come here to watch the soccer leagues is really cool because like it's surprisingly entertaining soccer.
Right. No, it really is. I mean, it's astonishing how fun it can be to watch 7 complete neophytes play 7 other complete neophytes in soccer when you're viewing it from above. Like you can kind of like,
you can see what's kind of happening intended.
And it reminds me a little bit of like when you're a shitty golfer, you know, like that one good stroke is what keeps you going.
Absolutely.
And like watching people that can't play.
And then they get that one thing.
Like occasionally, like, oh, that was a beautiful touch. Or like, Cross, how did that happen? You know, like, it really is. There's the moments of beauty are still there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's great.
And then I've been watching the Yemeni league.
Oh, yeah.
Then those guys, like, low-key good. Like,
yeah.
Like, the individual talents on those teams are, like, impressive.
Right, yeah. No,
and if, like,
guys,
they just played together more and, like, had a coach.
Right. No, but there's some guys who really, like, feel the ball and really, you know, their touch is like, wow.
It's impressive.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, that was not coming in here on a Saturday night at 8 o'clock and, like, watching, like, surprisingly good soccer just right in front. Like, wow, that's just happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just came in here for a beer, but that's incredible. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a beautiful... I mean, I think for Europeans, they walk in this space and it's immediately explicable. They're like, oh, okay, this is the bar associated with the club and the training facility associated with the club.
Yeah.
And they rent the training facility out for leagues because, you know, you're not training.
It's not a weird thing everywhere else.
Right. But in America, it's pretty weird. It's like, well, what is this again? You know, like,
why did they put a restaurant in a warehouse next to a cemetery?
Right, exactly.
in a fire station.
Like, yeah, like, looking at it that way, you know, for example, when we're trying to get lunch business, it is a little bit rough. Like, okay, what you're going to do is you're going to walk to the thing that looks like a factory next to the
fire
like,
station and cemetery.
The fire station and the cemetery, and there's great food there. Like, yeah,
it's like really
like a
good.
Yeah, exactly. Like
the cheapest beer, the like best cocktails.
Right. It sounds like you're going to get like you're going to wake up in a bathroom of lice.
Bathtub.
Exactly. Like, oh, my kidney.
But no, everyone's left here with their kidneys.
Right, exactly. We have 0 kidney harvesting incidents so far. So
yeah, like that's like kind of the on the other end of the spectrum of opening a restaurant in Detroit is like it's not on Woodward.
Right, exactly.
it's kind of off the beaten path on the east side.
Right.
But I've never felt unsafe around here.
Right.
Everyone,
and lots of free parking.
Lots of
free parking.
You wouldn't think it pulling up.
Right,
but
you
like,
pull in, you're like, oh my God. But then you like kind of go around one of the field houses and it's like there's a huge parking lot on each side.
It was pretty full when I pulled in. I was almost down around the other side, like almost to the fence.
Usually, like one side will be full and the other side won't be. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's true because no one goes the other way.
Right. Nobody goes left.
No one goes
Everybody
left.
Goes right.
But hey, listeners, like pro tip, there's secret parking over there.
Exactly. That's where the owners park.
Yeah.
If you just go left right away. That's where the owners
park. That's the spot.
Right.
That's the spot. So I did want to ask you like one more thing before we kind of change gears and talk league news, but. What has surprised you the most about opening the field house? Like, what's kind of exceeded your expectations, or what's kind of blown you away about what's happening?
I was frankly just a tiny bit worried. I know that everyone in NGS supports the endeavor. I was a tiny bit worried that financial considerations would come into play, and that like wishing something well is not the same as showing up and spending money there.
Absolutely.
Y'all have not let me down. Northern Guard shows up and shows out at this place all the time. And, I couldn't be happier with that aspect of it. Like, I was really worried that there was going to be a bifurcation of my, sort of supporterness and my managerness.
Yeah.
Okay. But I haven't had that happen. I've been able to
balance
manage
it.
This as a supporter.
Yeah.
And think specifically about what business ends meet city's goals, and think about it and think about these things in terms of like moral agency and stuff like that in a way that's a little bit unusual, and it hasn't been a problem.
Good.
So
that surprised you that you've been able to manage that.
Right.
I would say that actually doesn't surprise me too much, because I feel like because our ownership's goals kind of pretty much align with what supporters' goals are.
Right.
Like, we're all working towards the same thing.
Right, there's not a secret other goal where we're trying to put one over on you, I am employed by the club now, and, I mean, I do, like, okay, the NPSL Pro stuff, I knew that, a ways beforehand.
Was it to keep that in?
I mean, it wasn't that hard,
You have no problems keeping secrets.
Well, I've because I was a journalist and a writer before.
Oh, yeah,
before,
you have access
I know
privilege information.
Yeah, I have access. And I know how it is, like, where you, if you give a morsel, it's never enough. So you just got to say nothing.
Just shut the fuck up.
I just said nothing. But, I did see the paperwork a while ago. And knew that this was happening.
Yeah.
I feel like we're kind of segueing into the next section, but I feel like it's, we're just going from strength to strength here.
Yep.
This is part of building the real organic economy around the club.
Yep.
And we frankly need to go pro so that we have somewhere legitimate to spend this money, and we aren't just like buying hookers and then islands in Bahamas or whatever.
Yeah, oh yeah. Transferring it to offshore bank accounts.
Right, exactly.
Buying mega yachts.
I don't know if Sean and Alex and the guys had a plan for like secret islands, but I think we kind of put that aside, and we're just going to build a pro team now.
It's good.
So,
let's talk about MPSL Pro.
Let's do that.
Let's do
Although that won't be the name.
It's not going to be the name. Why is it not going to be the name?
Well, because our consistent position in the argument about this is that we are a professional team who is not professional. We're able to pay people to be professional players, but we're not engaged in the process of trying to harvest profit off of this.
Yeah.
We are a not-for-profit organization.
not-for-profit professional
so
team.
So we are trying to grow the organization, not the marginal gain of that organization.
Yes. It's all being put back in.
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, we make profit. We just, like, it's... we treat the profit like you treat the corn stalks from last year's harvest. We just turn it back into the soil and let it make new stuff.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. So it's not a professional team, but it's a team of professional players.
Right. It is a team of professionals within a league of...
of teams of professionals.
Within a league, a competitive league of whatever description. We don't need to get into that. We're not trying to... wave our privates at anyone or any other league. So, you know, who
cares?
We're
just trying to do something different.
Right. I mean, okay, I mean, I'm just going to address the kind of elephant in the room right away. Sure, everyone involved hopes that FIFA weighs in and
yep.
says, you know what, we did this in Australia and we're doing it here. This is not a legal setup. This is not how football runs. You need to get in line. And it may happen. It may not happen. We're preparing to be ready no matter what happens,
yeah.
you know. What that means is that we need income streams that aren't dependent upon the things that the soccer gods bestow upon us.
Yeah.
And luck. These represent those kind of income streams.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So I think the other kind of big thing about this league is it represents something that didn't exist within the landscape of U.S. soccer.
Right.
A way for these underserved lower league teams to continue to grow.
Yeah, I call them like aspirational clubs. Like,
yeah, aspirational clubs that have the means, have the motivation, have the drive to become something bigger than they are.
Right.
But within the existing structure of the rules and the federation, there was no place for these teams to grow to.
Right. Right. I mean, I've described MLS as a certain kind of market failure,
yeah.
These are people who are trying to work outside that particular kind of market failure,
yeah.
And just do football.
Yeah.
I guess the thing I would say that worries me is that I think there's for some of the clubs, there's more aspiration than realization right
yeah.
now. But the hope is that in talking to us and talking to, you know, Chattanooga,
the big players,
right, and talking to people who have built a sustainable soccer enterprise
model.
In the United
yeah.
States, that we can start to share best practices and like
yep.
figure out how to, you know, create a culture within their town that like appeals to whatever's
what
happening
their
there.
Town is
right.
exactly
right. I mean, you know, I don't know what Miami.
It's definitely
Miami's
that's
thing,
something
you know?
I think we've talked about
right.
too. Is like you got to when you have a club like this, you got to take whatever it is your community represents,
right.
and then dial it up to like 11.
Right. I mean, a good example that I think happened recently and is not part of our thing is Peter Wilt's thing in Madison.
Oh my God!
They put that badge out and everybody's like head
what
scratch,
the fuck?
But the
yeah.
Madison people are like, "Fuck yes, that's our shit." And like, I mean, really, to a person, every response to that is Madison people saying, "Yeah." That's us.
This
like, they
totally
got it.
Represents everything
and
we are.
You're like, really? Okay, well,
and
cool.
For me, it's unusual to see that in a USL
right.
club.
Well, I mean, yeah.
to be honest.
There are clubs within USL who I think might be tempted by what we're offering. If
oh,
we
yeah.
can show it's viable,
absolutely.
And I'm talking about Madison and Indy 11, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Who would be our localist rivals?
That would be fucking awesome.
That would
awesome.
Be amazing.
Like, I would
just,
love to kick
Indy's come on
ass.
Over, guys. Come on over. You don't need to deal with this shit from them.
You could be in control of
yeah,
your destiny.
Exactly. Whatever the USL brothers are who run that stuff, just you know, just scrape them off. A couple lawsuits, you're good to go.
yeah, give up your identity for 2 years.
Right, exactly.
Call yourself
Indy
XI or something.
Exactly, exactly. We're the Indy G.
No, that would be awesome. And I do think that you know if this all goes according to the presumable plan, that could be a very real possibility. You know, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road.
I mean, I, you know, people are asking me what I think, you know, it'll look like in 2020 or 2022.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't fucking know.
There's no idea, you know, there's so many. But I mean, obviously, we're going to play a traditional MPSL season. Then we're going to play the Founders Cup kind of half season.
After the regular MPSL season.
And the Founders Cup is essentially, and as far as I can tell, a proof of concept for this
yeah.
idea. So if we can have compelling matches that are well attended, that are, you know, broadcast around the world,
yep.
and that will start the process of demonstrating that, like, look, really don't need the
that
USSF
bullshit. That bullshit.
To make this happen.
Yes.
Right. And, I mean, you know, I have people I consider good friends who work for U.S. Soccer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeff, God love you. I'm saying that, you know, the leadership there is you know, corrupt and suspect.
Yeah, it was like driven by
right.
bad motivations.
Has Carlos Cordero said anything about anything except World Cup 2026?
No, nothing.
He just doesn't give a shit.
Absolutely nothing.
He wants to cash those checks for 2026, and that's all it's about. And I mean, I can dig it. That's the way they came up, but
that's the way like, the Federation is structured and how it places importance.
I'm saying that they're dinosaurs and the meteor is coming.
Would you classify MPSL Pro as the meteor? Or would you classify the meteor as things?
I mean, the meteor's many things, but if I'm being, like, when I'm in my most, my drunkest, most arrogant, I think Detroit City is the meteor. Like, we're, like, we're going to come here and, like, just fuck your shit up. That's what we do.
Get fucked forever.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of questions about, we kind of touched on it for a second in that conversation, but let's talk about what 2019 looks like.
Okay.
We know that we're going to have a regular NPSL season. It's going to be kind of business as usual starting from January 1st till August 10th, we'll say, or whatever.
Right.
The first week of August after the NPSL final, regular season final is. We'll do have our normal three-month season. We have no idea if the club is going to be trying to create a pro roster. We don't know if they're going to continue their semi-pro roster.
Right.
I imagine that for some of the guys on the team, it's going to be a three-month tryout.
Right, exactly.
For the pro team.
I think you've got different, like, when you look at a roster, look at a city roster, look at any MPSL roster, you've got different kinds of guys. And City, more than most MPSL teams, has some guys who live in the area who are older heads, who are stable members of the roster. So you're talking about, you know, Cyrus Sadie, Dave Edwardson, Sebi Harris, Nate.
Jay Babes.
Exactly, Jay Babes. You got several guys who can play and who don't have another gig, you know. Or have a career. Right, have a day job. And for them, you know, I think that the NPSL season will be kind of last chance saloon. Like, if you know, here's a chance to get paid playing soccer.
Yep.
Starting in August. Also, I think that it's likely that if we have a general manager who's recruiting players, that we're going to start to add, you know, what will essentially be ringers.
Yeah, ballers.
Into our NPSL pro roster, you know, before the end of the season. Absolutely. Sean Mann's kid weighing in on the conversation, if you couldn't hear that. I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. We're going to get some ballers.
Right. Well, the other thing that I think will be interesting is to see, you know, there have been several, you know, I'm thinking about guys like Tyrone Mondi.
Yep.
Who's like, okay, I'd like to turn pro with City.
Absolutely.
So it's coming next summer. Are you ready? You know, Tyrone, like, get your game on. Like, and I'm sure that Klaus is,
Klaus is working his magic.
Is got feelers out everywhere. Yep. So, you know, we've always been kind of a magnet for talent in the area. I think that's going to continue to be even more fiercely the case now that we can offer people, you know, full-time
some
work.
Quiche.
Right. I think having a training facility like this is a huge leg up, you know.
Yeah,
we train every day. We'll be able to train every day. Inclement weather doesn't mean anything to us.
Yep.
That's a lot of MLS teams don't have that.
Yeah.
We're ready to build a side that can win games. And we've built an infrastructure to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have a lot more continuity than a lot of these teams will. You know, I mean, we're going to.
I think we're probably going to roll in.
Like, I think it's going to be Ben. It's going to be.
Agree that it's going to be Ben.
And you know, I think that continuity means a lot. And you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
The Founders Cup is going to be a proof of concept for MPSL, but also for Detroit City. I think it's going to be a lot.
And all the teams involved.
All the teams. We're all going to be kind of, I mean, maybe some of the ones that were pro before, the Rowdies, Cosmos, they've got an idea.
Yeah.
You know, they know what their budget's going to be.
Yep.
They know, we're a little more where I was at the beginning of this restaurant. Like, we don't know how many people are coming in, how much food we need to order. We're just going to kind of guess.
Yeah.
And like change
on
the fly.
Yeah, yeah. Deal with it as it happens, right. So to speak.
But we've got a lot of really bright people, you know, bending their will on this. Yeah. So
putting everything into it.
Right, right. All right, so we got a lot of questions via Twitter. You solicited some questions, and here we are. Oh, sorry. and I'm curious what you think. Nick, who is at Nifi 22.
Nifi,
sorry. he asked what the ideal five-year plan for Detroit City as an organization would be.
So if you would have asked me this question a year ago, I would say continue to exist.
Right.
Because I think at this level, with these clubs in this league, sustainability is always kind of the goal, the objective.
Right.
Continuing to exist, because if you win a championship, great. But at the end of the day, if the club doesn't exist anymore, what good is, like, okay, memories are great, but like I'd rather have a club.
Right. Right, exactly.
So like, and I'm like speaking like, you know, taking a shot at Cleveland.
Right.
But
sorry, Cleveland.
But they do have a good new team there, and they're doing the right things. But so like today, I think the ideal 5-year plan is to have, well, that, where would that take, 2023, 2024 in MPSL Pro. I would like to see a 30 team league. I would like to see, you know, 15 teams on each coast, and at least the discussions of promotion relegation happening between those teams and whatever other teams would be associated with this project. I would love to see a partnership between UPSL, like the pro or the higher division of the UPSL, and just kind of all integrate it. I mean, I think that's really what the goal should be if we're trying to create a proof of concept of a better system.
It looks to me like a lot of those leagues, like, there's a lot of people building leagues with the idea that eventually there's going to be promotion and relegation here.
It's exactly what's happening.
It's like, well, okay, this is probably going to happen at some point in the future. Let's get a league going so that we have some structure.
And have teams to play.
Right.
Everyone, like, playing games is pretty important.
Right.
So, like, everything's great on paper, but at the end of the day, like, got to play games.
Right, need to have some games, need to get people to go to those games. And
so, yeah, I think I agree. Like, there's a lot of regional leagues forming that are, I can see the future having, you know, having a place in a new association,
right.
So to
speak.
Well,
I mean, I look at, like, the German organization where below the third division, it's like regional leagues that kind of are idiosyncratic and filter up in different ways. And I think that's a map that the U.S. could follow, although I think that those regional leagues would be more like the fifth or sixth tier here, because
exactly.
It's just so big.
So big, and there's a ton of teams.
Right. There's, you know, I mean, like, realistically, you're talking about, eventually, you're talking about 50,000 club teams in the United States.
Exactly.
And that's, you know.
Because you could have 20 in each major city.
Right.
Like,
I mean, we could have 10, 15 teams in Detroit right now.
Yeah.
You know, different neighborhoods, different people. Yeah. I mean, for me, I think 2023, unless we've made, you know,
grave errors.
Unless we've made grave errors, or the environment is very different than we think, I think that Detroit City is one of the top 5 or 10 football clubs in the United States, without any question. That it's clear that what we're building is different and special, and I think that's not unrealistic. I mean, I think you know, once we break out into a larger commercial domain, that we're just going to
not go like from, this little cult thing.
We're going to go from strength to strength. You know, I think we built the structure and the background to make it happen. And
they got the foundation in.
Right. You know, we're ready to explode, and I think we're going to.
Do you think, I'm asking you a question?
Sure.
and I'll answer it also. But do you think that in the next 5 years, we have to start looking at potentially a larger place to play than Keyworth, or serious renovations, expansion of Keyworth?
I don't think there's enough physical footprint in Keyworth to be much larger than 10,000 seats. I think there's things we could do Because there's a street, a residential street right yep. against the one side.
Yep.
The supporter side, we could maybe
bump out,
build it out, and get up to 13,000 or something. Yeah. But if we're aiming to be a top flight team, we are going to have to build a facility yeah. at some point. But I think we can afford to wait, and you know, just pack our stadium
yeah.
and
pack the field house,
right?
Pack the stadium, do
right.
as much as we can do,
right?
So do you think it's realistic to think in the next 5 years there might be some modular stadium plans coming up?
I mean, I think that by the end of that, you know, what you're waiting for is to
grow.
Well, you don't want to make new stadium plans while you aren't filling your old stadium
exactly.
every time.
Yeah.
And there's still room to grow in Key Worth. We still yep. have that southern part of the supporter side
which
to renovate.
Which they're going to be opening next
right.
year.
So that's going to get our capacity up to about 10 grand. So once we start filling that consistently every week, week after week, that'll be when it's time to start thinking, okay.
We would be outdrawing most MLS clubs at
right,
10
right,
grand.
Right, and what will we do modularly to increase it? Like, but I expect that those modular plans, it'll be a kind of give and take with, like, okay, what are we saving for the stadium? What are we
yeah.
doing to make this viable in the meantime?
Yeah.
Make more money. But, yeah, you know, I do think that we'll hit a logical
it's time to
ceiling.
Keep growing
right at Key Worth. I mean, as much as I would love to say, okay, we're going to do Key Worth forever,
yeah,
like it's a public school facility, there's a baseball field on one side, there's residential on the other side,
yeah,
it's never going to be a 25,000 seat stadium.
Well, I guess we'll kind of find out too, because when they when the Ralph Williams Jr. Foundation paid for the grant to replace the turf in Key Worth,
right,
part of their donation also includes creating a master plan for that entire area,
right.
And I guess we'll kind of find out what's in that master plan
right.
for that area,
right?
Because we don't know.
I mean, you know, logistically, if we're attracting 10,000-11,000 people to Key Worth.
That's a lot of people for Hamtramck.
I mean, we're going to start to flood Hamtramck. Like, parking is going to become increasingly difficult.
Yep.
Access to food and all the kind of nitty gritty game day stuff
yeah.
is going to get harder and harder to do.
The logistics,
right? And we're so that will be when the club starts to pivot to like, okay, wow, how can
yeah.
we need to address this. We need to get a nice, clean, new 20,000 seat stadium somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm certain that we'll
get to
finance
that point.
It ourselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, we're not going to take a bunch of tax money. And
the entire ethos of this club is
right.
like they
right.
would never do that.
Right. Basically, we're not going to do the Dan Gilbert thing.
No.
You know.
See, we're like, the antithesis of
right.
of the way he chooses to do business.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. The rules are made to be exploited by billionaires, and he's exploiting the shit out
yep.
of them. Good for you, I guess. You know, that's who you are, and we're going to judge you thereby. You know?
Yeah, totally. Let's go to some more questions.
Cool. So Glenn Straup asks, how would the proposed Pro League affect our collective fandom? Cities too far away to travel, more consistent rosters. Will they still play local teams and friendlies? What else will change?
So I think it's going to obviously the culture of the team is going to evolve as the team does. I think one thing that they're doing well is planning to keep teams regional in this new league,
right.
and planning to play games in areas that are pretty relatively easy to get to. We're going to be going to Miami twice. Miami, you can get plane tickets to Miami for like less than $100,
right?
Which honestly, if you factor in the gas of driving to Madison
Chattanooga, right.
It's probably going to be more affordable to go to a Miami than it is
yeah.
to drive to a Chattanooga.
That's just absolutely crazy.
To be honest,
the thing that we can get down to South Beach cheaper than we can get to Chattanooga.
Yeah. So it's going to be different. Like, we're not going to have the 200 people, 300 people on away days every away. Actually, we may. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're fucking crazy. Like, there might be 200 people that show up to those Miami games. I definitely think we're going to show up for a game against the Cosmos
right.
in New York.
Right.
I can't imagine us in New York There's going to people are going to get arrested.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, I really think that we're going to spread the gospel that Detroit City ain't nothing to fuck with.
Absolutely.
All over the nation.
Yeah. People will know who we are and what we represent in this, but. I think, to kind of bring it back to the field house too, I think there's going to be an evolution in our culture where these games are going to be streamed and they're going to be accessible, and it's right. not going to be like the typical MPSL situation where, you know, you may get, you know, a handy cam stream on,
like sitting there, like desperately reloading the stream on your computer at home. Like,
exactly.
Just settling down for a twatch.
Presumably. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. Okay. I guess we're going to have to twatch
it. I'm just watching it on Twitter.
No, but I think one of the goals of this league is going to make it be very accessible,
right?
Because that's how you get the buy-in is accessibility. And so with that being said, we're going to be able to have like away day watch parties at our clubhouse.
Right. I mean,
at our field house,
we were talking about this the other day, and I expect that away days in this space are going to be absolutely crazy. you know, it's going to be a game day.
People are going to pregame it.
Right. You know, we're going to have like ambulances on call.
Yeah, well, good thing there's a fire station
exactly.
right next door.
I'm really excited about the prospect of hosting these away days and putting, you know, really high quality streams up for everybody to react to.
And making it a thing. Like this is going to be now the future of the culture of the club, so we get to evolve it in a way that we didn't have the opportunity to before.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're kind of.
But with that being said, I think that everyone should make a fairly large effort in trying to make away days for 2019, because in the regular MPSL season, because we don't know what 2020 looks like.
Right,
we don't know if the club is going to continue to operate a B team or a DCFC2 in the regular MPSL. I think it kind of makes sense for them to do that.
Right.
More games is always better when you're trying to be sustainable and make money. I mean, I guess they'll just have to figure out if people are still going to go to those games in addition to going to the pro games. But I have every faith in our ownership to kind of figure out a way to make that work.
Right. I think that, you know, that is an area where City can grow a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, we've always had kind of, like, the last few years, we've had a very deep roster.
Yep.
Where there's a few guys who are not really making game day for the first team, but are still on the roster and are still, you know, play in those kind of. I think that will be more explicitly split off as like a B team or a City 2 or whatever you call it.
Do you think they'll use NCAA guys in the 2 if we have it?
I think if we stay in the traditional MPSL, there's no reason not to.
I agree.
It's a development piece.
Yep. It's building the brand.
Right.
It's attracting those players to come play for the pro team.
Right. I mean,
being involved in the organization.
You know, without that stuff, we don't have Tyrone. We don't have Roddy Green.
Exactly.
We don't have, you know,
Omar. We don't have Lawson. Right.
Exactly. We've got a whole lot of guys that have started here as college players.
Yep.
And I want to keep that alive. I mean, I think that,
I do too.
I think they want to keep that alive.
I think they do too.
One question I have about. And this is kind of a turd in the punch bowl, but you know, I'm for me, I think we've got a limited time left to establish a women's team.
Yeah,
I think you know that's something that needs to happen, you know, fairly soon. I don't work on the soccer side of things. I have no idea if they talked about it.
Yep.
But if you're listening, you know, I think it's important that we morally that we get on that side of things.
Sooner rather than later.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, for a really fairly small investment, we could have a pretty competitive women's team here. You know, it's not going to cost what it costs to have a men's pro team.
Men's pro team,
So, you know, there's the that's the kind of second division women's league that plays the, all around the Midwest. WUSA or
WPSL.
WPSL, right. Yeah, WUSA was the old thing.
they changed
the Mia Hamm League that died.
They change it. So, there's so many new women's leagues forming, to be honest.
You know, the United States has been a place where women's football has had a foothold for 20 years.
And exceeded everywhere else.
But we're losing our lead, you know.
We're definitely falling behind.
I mean, if you look at the crowds that are turning out for the... like Liga Femenina in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting 30,000-40,000 people showing up for a women's game.
That's like unfathomable.
Right. In the U.S. women sell out everywhere they go.
Of course.
You know, it's been proven that women can sell tickets playing soccer.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that we can extend the brand that way. At some point in the next, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah, I think there may be a bigger thing at play in that, and maybe a delay in why the club doesn't have a women's team yet. But the MPSL has a trademark for the WNPSL.
Oh, really?
public record, you go search on the USPTO website, and you search MPSL, there's a trademark for women's MPSL.
So they're trademark squatting on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they could be working on something behind the scenes. I have no idea.
Or they could just be waiting to tax whoever actually wants to do that.
It could be.
Because that's part of the modern world, too.
Definitely could be. I haven't seen MPSL really do that with other things, but it's definitely... obviously been discussed at some point for them to actually trademark it. Like, it's not hard to trademark something, but you also got to do it. So I hope that there's something working in the background, but I have no idea if there is either. But I agree, it needs to happen.
Right. James Davison, who is a friend of mine on Steam.
I'm friends with him on Steam,
I know actually. All the games you play, James. he says he would love to hear some discussion around the moniker pro and how wages and lifestyles work for players in the second and third tier of U.S. soccer. And that's something I'd like to address right out of the bat.
Yeah, go for it.
There is no way, the things that happen in USL teams where guys are being like, if you play for New York Red Bulls 2, as I understand it, you're considered an hourly employee despite the fact that you've signed a contract.
A pro contract, yeah.
Right. And you have to track your hours and like submit them to the team. So like the hours that you're training and the hours that you're doing public outreach, and you have to submit that to the team and like
it gets audited and questioned.
Just in case you don't know this, that's not how it's done. It's just not how it's done
anywhere else.
You hire a soccer player to play soccer, you pay him X amount per week, month, year, and that money comes in and that's it. Like
it's a salary.
They're exempt employees.
Yeah.
Okay? They're working 120 hours a week to be better players.
Yeah.
You don't nickel and dime how much they're showing. As I understand it, they won an important game and the coach gave them a day off from training, and the players were like, no, we don't want a day off from training, we won't get paid.
Are you kidding
and like, so they had to like, like kind of get together
like they
and
literally
like,
don't get paid if they don't train,
right,
and
exactly.
If the coach decides to
if the coach
call
is like,
training
good job,
you just
guys,
don't get paid,
you know, we're going to take a day
how
of rest.
How do you survive on that? Yeah. You can't, if that's not a steady source of income, how do you make
also,
that like your full-time
also,
thing?
Also, no healthcare coverage, which is
like
insane.
You're an
athlete.
Oh my God.
You're an athlete.
You're like high risk. Risk healthcare,
and they, you know, I mean, so players will take serious injuries, and the clubs will try to kind of scrape them off because they don't want to pay for it.
Of course,
like, okay, well, you're dead to us.
Yeah.
You blew out your knee. You're not going to be any good to us anymore. We're just going to let you go.
That's so fucked
up. It's so fucked up. Like, you know, I mean, it's redolent of the kind of things we've seen from the NCAA, from the NBA, from all of these closed leagues. And all of these kind of, you know, factions that run sports.
Yep.
And I, you know, as little as I know about our plans for NPSL Pro or whatever it's going to be called, I know that we won't be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, that we're going to offer people real jobs.
Yep.
Where you have, you know, there's healthcare. Yep. And, you know, we'll have a physio. And,
not going to be like an independent contractor.
Right, exactly. Like, look, you're a 1099 employee. Let's see what happens. You know, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, and I,
I'm getting a disapproving look from Martha Ridgway right now. That needs to stop. She's on the blog. Oh, it's not a blog. Podcast. What are we doing? I'm so confused.
You're writing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I definitely agree. I think that knowing our ownership and knowing what they want to do and kind of change the way soccer business is done in the United States, I definitely think they're going to be signing players in a way that makes sense,
right,
and is different from what you just described.
Right.
And if I recall correctly, all that information was in an article from somewhere, but I don't remember who wrote it or what it was in, but I definitely recall...
If anyone knows, please let us know.
I definitely recall reading that article, and it was just like, it may have been on even on, like, I think it was an Athletic article. And I was like, as I was reading, I just couldn't believe, like, that's how... So, like, what motivation is there to become a pro soccer player if you have to, like, go through all that bullshit,
right,
to maybe make, the
40 grand
Premier
a year.
League? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and we've talked about this before, but I used to write about the Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
They just had their starting left back, a guy who's 24 years old, 2-year pro, retire.
What?
Yeah, Brandon Vincent. Like, he's got 3 caps for the USA. He's 24 years old. He's a left back. He's super reliable.
I was
going to
say, like, promising, like, point in his career.
Right, and he's just like, you know, what's the best case scenario for me? Like, maybe I make 100 grand in MLS. I got a Stanford degree.
Yeah,
you know, I can do better than,
like,
this.
He's, like, overqualified.
Right, you know, and I mean, there's no point at which the love of the club or the passion for the game is overcoming that.
Yeah.
Because... what the fuck is that even, really?
Exactly.
You know?
Well, especially in our existing system.
Right, exactly. Like, I mean, you know, there's no upside for you if you're a Chicago Fire employee.
No.
You know, you're just going to work until you die, and they're going to, like,
just
you
scrimmage
know,
and
chip
scrimmage
you
and scrimmage.
Dog food. Yeah. Okay, so Josh Prentice asks, extremely premature, this is feeding into that last conversation.
Yeah. All these questions were asked before MPSL Pro was announced, too.
Oh, really? Okay.
Officially,
yeah.
If you look at the dates.
Extremely premature roster speculation, amateur roster April to July, then transition to a pro team, or pro roster for the whole year. Which of our most recent players will turn pro? Do any of our pro alumni return? So I want to start at the end of that and say, I don't know which of our... I don't think any of our pro alumni return. I don't know who do we have out there.
Bakey.
Okay, Bakey's a decent shout.
Yeah.
You know, I think Adam...
Bedell. He retired,
he's pretty much done.
Yeah, retired.
He's done playing, so he's not going to come back.
I doubt
it. You know, Latif Alash.
God, I would love to have him back.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
I don't know how he is now. Like,
right.
I don't know his ability...
I mean, I think he's kind of he's, you know, in the 18, but not a starter always for San Jose.
Okay.
So what's his financial situation? You know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we don't know what we're going to be able to offer people.
Of course.
You know, he's probably making 80,000-90,000 a year for San Jose. Are we going to be able to beat that? Probably not.
You know,
would coming home and being a lockdown starter in a different league be a,
like a fan
thing?
Favorite?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Totally different environment.
So
but... I definitely think that we kind of talked about it earlier in this episode, but 2019 is probably going to be a tryout for the pro season.
Right.
I don't think we're going to go into the regular MPSL season full pro squad.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really any benefit to play a full pro squad in MPSL.
Right. I mean, unless you just think it's hilarious to beat everybody 6-0.
It just doesn't. There's really no point.
I mean,
that to
would
do
be
that.
Hilarious.
We kind of do that sometimes already too.
Yeah.
But it's. I think it makes more sense to treat it as a 3-month tryout or feeler
for those guys
who
make the step up.
Exactly.
So you know, it'll be the top tier guys.
Yeah.
Proving they.
Have
the juice.
Have
right?
the juice.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, for me, you know, if I'm starting the Founders Cup roster,
yeah. If you were the GM,
if I was the GM, okay, I'm going to pencil in, you know, probably Sean Claude and Cyrus.
Yep.
We'll see how Dave feels.
Yeah.
Does he, you know, I mean,
we don't know what Dave's going to do.
We don't know what Dave's going to do. He might not.
He still plays a lot.
Right. And, you know, he's a guy who would be valuable even if he's not starting.
Just even as a leader within the team.
Leader, will be a leader in practice, will be tremendous energy off the bench.
Super sub.
Right. I mean, that's he's done that on and off with us.
Forever.
For now. So, yeah. But, you know, Cyrus and Sean Claude are the two guys
that
are not in college that I would say, okay, they're ready to play at that next level. You know, beyond that, Roddy Green's have a great year at Spring Valley. And he's the kind of young, aggressive dude that, you know, you need some of on the roster. Tyrone, obviously.
No, is Tyrone a senior?
I think he might be a junior.
Might be a junior.
Like, but he's like a redshirt junior.
Okay.
So it might be like he could just come and finish college here and play for us.
Yep.
Like starting wings of Roddy and Tyrone, that worked pretty
insane.
Well.
It was
you
insane.
Know, a lot of energy, a lot of, you know, a lot of swagger. So, you know, I'd like to see that.
I would do everything possible to get Bakey Goodman back. To be honest, I would do anything possible to get Bakey back from Pittsburgh.
I like Bakey. And I think, I don't think it'll be
difficult.
I mean, no, no disrespect to the Riverhounds, okay? But he's going to want to come back.
I mean, his Twitter photo is still him in a DCFC jersey.
Yeah, he's not rocking that Pittsburgh crest in his Twitter photo.
So I think, I always have said it, but Bakey was, the key to the midfield.
He was the quiet storm.
He was the quiet storm. Just popped balls wherever he wanted them and just set things up and held the midfield down. And that's...
Oh, and then we can find, you know, some kind of super mobile, rugged ball winner to play alongside him.
I would love that. And just pass the ball to him and let him distribute it.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of an Ozzie Alonso type, you know.
That would be a dream. And that's like Ben's system, too.
Right.
Like, that's what he does.
Right,
That's what he coaches the guys to do. And it's just a matter of finding the right combination of guys to make that happen.
Right.
And when he does do it, it looks really pretty, especially at the MPSL level.
Right, yeah. When you get, it's all, to me, the way he sets up team is all about pairings.
Yep.
Like, you know, you got pairings up front, you got a pairing of wingers, you got a pairing in the middle, the wingers in the front, the wingers in the back.
And the
fullbacks, the center back. Like, it's all about pairs.
Yep.
And when you can get, you know, an interesting set of pairs all around the field, I mean, you got a lot of interesting shit going on. And it's not static, you know,
it's more rigid.
You know,
it's more rigid, but it's if we can find guys that fill into those spots and like if you have a Bakey, you're gonna need a ball winning midfielder to supplement him, basically.
You know, I don't know who I would
I got a guy. Louis Darjo would be good. Troy Watson was a guy that was like a low key just ball winner, did his job quietly.
Right.
And one of my favorite quotes from any TV show is from Futurama, and it's when you do things right, people won't be sure you've done anything at all. And that's Troy Watson to me.
That's true.
Like just one balls and shut down the opposing attack before it even started. Yeah. And so when you've got two guys in the center that can win and distribute, that's what I think our pro team is going to need.
NGS Tano, who is Roger, who sits next to my wife and I in Northern Guard, he's asking why we've not had a city player become NGS or a Capo or a Rouge Rover. Outside of players coming over just to sing for a minute.
Yeah.
Why haven't players become full-blown NGS?
I have no idea. To be honest, I don't. I mean, are we too weird? Are we too intimidating?
I think there's a certain amount of separation. Well, okay. I think that for players, they think it's awesome, but they also think it's a little bit dorky. And, you know, they just, there's just a little bit of, stigma associated with getting all in.
It's like 200% in, yeah.
Right, exactly. Like, they want to sit off to the side and... and mutter to the other former players. You know, they don't want to. They don't want to, like, you know, cheer and sing and, like, you know, put themselves out there.
I think Roddy would.
Yeah, I eventually we'll get one.
I think if we were to get anyone in our section, I think a Roddy is one of them.
Yeah, Roddy, next time you're suspended for a game, come on over.
Well, he did. He was in the section.
Was he?
I think for a friendly, the last friendly last year. I've got photos of him holding a smoke bomb going nuts.
Oh, wow, okay.
So I definitely think, like, if we ever were to get a former player to buy into Northern Guard, I think Roddy is a,
but
is,
I mean,
a candidate.
You know, in some ways, it's like... It's hard to mingle with the parishioners once you've been in the priesthood. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, okay.
What an analogy.
Look how into this you are. Wow. Okay. Well, I know all the rites.
Yeah. That's really funny. I think we might be a little too much for people.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty much it. Patrick Inferna, the guy, he's the guy who
Copa 90, he came and filmed the documentary. No.
Which Patrick is that?
That's Patrick Cyril.
Oh, Patrick, okay, right.
Patrick Inferna.
Oh, he's the Copa 90 guy.
He's Cosmos Gang, Copa 90.
Okay, right.
Punk soccer. Great dude. Can't wait to kick his ass next year.
He says
NPSL
projected
Pro.
NPSL Pro away day power rankings.
Everyone wants to come to Detroit.
I mean, we're clearly number one. Look, Cosmos, you got a great brand. Everyone loves Pele, but
who wants to go to Coney Island?
Do you have a bar? You don't. You don't have a bar. We got a bar. We have a huge bar. So I think we're winning.
That's number one, right?
Sorry.
That's part of the away day experience.
Yeah, everybody else is fighting for number two.
No, honestly, I think the thing with all these MPSL Pro teams is that each team has their charm and their draw, like why you'd want to go visit. Like every single one of them's like, man, yeah, like Chattanooga's awesome to see what they're doing down there.
Right, right.
It's like... It's funny because there's a lot of similarities to what we're doing up here, but there's also a lot of differences.
Right.
They're like totally different vibes.
Right. Well, that's what, like when I wrote about the, I went to the Chattanooga game and wrote about it last year, and it was really interesting to me how these clubs seem to be at similar points in their development.
Yeah.
But were very, very different, like on different trajectories, just because they're from different cultures.
Yep.
You know, Chattanooga is more of a, like, we're going to follow the rules and we're going to make sure everything works kind of vibe. And that's cool
they're
for
diplomatic.
You guys.
I used a line today. I said, Chattahooligans have more tact and diplomacy than NDS Detroit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that.
And that's just
but
their
tact
identity.
And diplomacy goes along with their culture, and lacking it goes along with our culture. Like, we're more like, you know, like we tend to view that kind of tact and diplomacy as like a delaying tactic or a way to like distance yourself from your true feelings.
No.
So we're like, fuck that.
No, we speak our mind right up front.
Right,
and so to go along that vein too, like. Who doesn't want to go to Miami in like October or November?
Yeah, exactly.
like that's
I'm cool
a great
with that.
That's a great away day too.
Or,
and I think just the amount of stuff there is to do in New York and playing a historic team like the Cosmos has its draw. So it's for me, it's really hard to rank them against each other because they each have their own things that like
we'll,
you want
we'll
to kind
of have to see. You know, I mean,
I have an idea. So the bottom of that power ranking. It's the
Milwaukee Torrent. I was going to say, except Milwaukee. Nobody wants to go there.
No one wants
okay,
to
but
go
Milwaukee,
to Milwaukee
is awesome. Okay, let me just say that Milwaukee is an awesome place to go if you're, you know, you don't have a ton of money, you want to get a drunk on, you know, stay late. Milwaukee's great for that.
I mean, but that's it.
It has a lot of Detroitish vibe about like the way it parties and stuff. But
it's a Midwest
it's Milwaukee.
Town, man. It's Milwaukee.
You know,
it's next to nothing.
It's an hour north of Chicago.
More than that.
It's really just like an hour. Like,
is it? I've never
like
gone.
An hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad, but still, no one wants to go there.
Right. Yeah. And you're in Wisconsin. I mean, you know.
I really wish they had a supporter culture because there's like so much Bants. like cheese and weird highway attractions. And
well, and I mean, and their supporters, like, I really think that if they had an organic supporter culture, it would look something like ours. Like, they're a city that is like, you know, we've been sold out over and over again, and, you know, fuck all this noise.
Yeah. Milwaukee versus everybody.
Right, yeah. So they could kind of get on board with that idea, I think. But, you know, the Torrent haven't managed to
do
build
anything.
A support anything. At all.
I mean, I think there's like 5 to 10 guys that...
Right. Who are listening to this podcast right now, like, well, yeah, we're going to do it. Like, do it, guys.
Honestly, like, I don't know if any of them... I mean, there's, like... I can look at, like, the statistics of, like, where people watch. I don't know if we have any in Milwaukee.
Nobody in Wisconsin.
We have people in Wisconsin.
They're in Madison.
Because of, like, Madison and because of the proximity to Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Don't we have somebody who moved to Madison?
Regan.
Right. Regan Bartha.
Regan.
Right.
But I don't know if he's still there. I don't know where he's at now.
Okay.
Where in the world is Regan?
Never mind.
Another question really quick?
NGS High Horse asks, who stole my fucking lighter?
Dude. How long ago did he lose it?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
2 weeks ago?
NGS Illuin asks, he would like some wild speculation about international friendlies.
okay.
He says his money is on some combination of Celtic FC, another Mexican team, and a team from Spain. Rayo Vallecano.
They have a great question. I've been playing the Celtic card pretty hard. I think that is like peak we could hope to manage,
right?
If it's going to happen.
I mean, having a former European champion here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big deal.
That's a big deal. And I think I actually just learned a really interesting piece of information the other day.
A scoop.
Hanover 96 has played here at Keyworth.
Really?
Against Carpathia Kickers.
Wow.
In like the 60s.
Nice.
So there
Hanover.
Is Hanover 96. Yeah. Has played at Keyworth.
Soccer made in Germany.
So I definitely, just looking at teams' connections to the area, I mean, that was completely under the radar for me.
Right.
But now I gotta say, like, they are a potential friendly team. Just because they have a history here, they might want to come back, make another tour.
Right.
Sort of situation now that there's pro soccer.
Right.
Here.
Well, I think that the continued success of these friendlies, like, that will kind of, like, that idea of that being a possibility will expand organically from the clubs we played.
Yeah.
So St. Pauli, as they come into contact, you know, I mean,
Oka... The word's going to get out.
And Ewald and all those guys talk to their people in Germany and say, you know, Detroit, it's a thing, you know. And, you know, that's how it'll happen.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I think that the St. Pauli thing was a
wild
pipe dream until they kind of came in contact with us for real, and we're like, oh, okay, well,
you guys are interested, really? Okay.
This will really work. Like, all right, you know, we want to market in America. And
everyone, be cool.
Right, right.
It's in St. Pauli, be cool.
Like, just totally act normal, you guys. And then it's totally fine.
So, I agree. Like, that's how the word gets out. That's how you attract more teams. That's how you kind of build the brand. I definitely think the club is going to want to bring over another Mexican team, a Liga MX team.
Right.
Maybe one a little more notable than Necaxa. Like, not that they're not notable, but they don't have the brand recognition of, like, a Pumas or a Club America situation.
Like, we do have Pumas-branded youth teams playing here 4 or 5 times a week.
Do you really?
Yeah. Like,
they're all, like, got Pumas kits and everything?
Pumas kits, yeah. They're good.
So there's a built-in fan base.
Right. Well, and you know, a lot of our focus, like, just to go back to the field house and clubhouse.
Bring it all around.
Well, we're trying to, you know, we really are trying to appeal to and entice the teams and the players from the southwest part
of
Detroit.
Of the city. Yeah.
You know, we want the Mexican town teams and supporters and people to feel like this is their place too.
I was going to say take ownership in this as well.
Right, right. And, you know, and I mean, you know, there's strength in multiple cultures and multiple, like, styles.
Absolutely.
And if we can, you know, get the kind of La Paza, you know, style incorporated a little bit, it will really broaden our football.
And absolutely.
That's, you know,
everyone benefits from that.
Right.
Everyone benefits from the diversity and kind of
so
bringing
like
everything together.
Yeah, you know, I mean, for me as like the manager of this place, it means making sure that I've got, you know, some Mexican beer available and we've got some things that, you know, don't taste foreign. To people of, you know, Mexican background.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I really want them to feel welcome, you know, and like, this
we want
be,
you to
this,
be
this
like
is for
part
you
of
too.
Us. Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. Just jump in here. We're with you. We
this
got
is,
you.
This is yours too.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, you know, my hope is that I think we'll absolutely, I mean,
pull in another.
The question I have is, it's not a World Cup year, and because of the Founders Cup, we may not see, you know, the number of friendlies that we've gotten used to the last couple of years, where we're having two or three a year.
I was going to say
maybe like one. You know,
I think they announced Sean had an interview where I think he said they plan on doing 2 to 3.
Friendlies
oh, really? Okay.
Next year.
Okay. I, you know,
so I at mean,
least
next
just, year, just
me
before the pro
like,
season starts,
as kind of an outsider, me looking at it going, the calendar is going to be a lot more limited because there's not that huge break for every league in the world because of the World Cup. And our calendar is going to be more limited because it's not like, you know, well, we got done with NPSL and
we have a month of
as long as you want to come show up, we'll play you, you know, we'll see who can be here to play.
Yeah.
We're going to be turning that team over into a, you know, Founders Cup team and making a fully professional side out of it.
Yep.
So those will be more like preseason matches for us.
Yep.
We're trying to, you know, sort of shape and stuff like that.
I could see that. Another thing that I think a lot of people don't know, because I just heard it today, is the plan for NPSL Pro is to have games spread out more, Saturday. It's going to be Saturday games.
Right.
Sean announced that on WDET with Pat Batchelor this morning.
Okay.
So if you don't listen to WDET, you should, because that's like the one actual radio station that continuously has supported us. So when you're driving in, make sure you got WDET 101.3 on the radio, because they covered NPSL Pro on their morning sports update, which is awesome.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel embarrassed that I listened to my Critical Role podcast,
which is a great podcast. It is a great podcast.
I love a little D&D.
But Pat Batchelor has been like a champion of getting airtime for DCFC on the radio.
Oh, well, awesome.
So he had an interview with Sean Mann this morning, and Sean Mann said, you know, we're looking to space the season out, more games over a longer period of time, and it's going to be Saturday games, and we're not going to have multiple games in one weekend. It's going to be game on the weekend, practice during the week, which is awesome, because, like, those two game weekends are nightmares.
Friday, Sunday?
Yeah. That's what I'm most looking forward to is like having
a real like regular soccer schedule.
Exactly, regular soccer schedule, and like, oh man, I don't have to be around every weekend. Like, it's an away day this weekend. Like, I don't have to go somewhere. Like,
right. Like, okay, cool.
I just have to go to the field house for like 2-3 hours.
Right, exactly.
Instead of
like, I can
committing
show up.
To go to fucking, you know, Chattanooga
wherever.
For the weekend.
Or,
like,
you know, Lafayette, Indiana.
You're Lafayette.
Like, we're going to drive down to Lafayette and we're going to watch like City beat them like 12-0.
Yeah.
In a cornfield.
On a hot as fuck day.
Yeah, exactly. And get treated like ass the whole time.
Criminals.
Great. This is great.
So, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to most is, like, Saturday games and an extent, like, a stretched out season.
Yeah.
Collect my sanity.
Right. I mean, it's as a writer, it's like you don't have any time to react to anything in the NPSL season.
Oh, no,
it's
you
just
can't,
like
actually
game,
digest
game,
what you're doing.
Game. You're just like, this happened. Man, you know, like occasionally you get like a week where you can like, I can look at those last five games and say, we did this. But like as it's happening,
some data,
it's just like bam, you know.
Somehow the team's improving and like different for me, like you can actually focus on different stuff when you don't have
I'm excited to get like, you know, Like, we'll probably have, like, OptiData.
I can't wait to get OptiData.
Like, you know.
Not just me, like, guesstimating, like.
Sean added several touches. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, data tracking.
Right.
Like, that's actually, like, a criticism a lot of people have of the MPSL is, like, they don't track statistics
at all.
Yeah. And there's, like, no system to report it.
It's totally, like, just do catch your own as thing. Catch can. Yeah. Like, good luck, you know. If you wanted to create a top scorer, you could just make a bunch of bullshit up, and nobody's going to check it, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, Stan Collymore, 2. And he's scoring 10 goals a game for us. What?
No way to check it.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you follow the
club's Twitter.
Is he related
to Stan Collymore? I don't know. Must be related to one of the Stan Collymore.
So, I mean, I know people had a lot of questions, but we're definitely over what my time wanted
to probably,
be.
We should probably wrap this up.
Let's wrap this up. If we didn't address your question.
Too fucking bad.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
That's it. We're done. We're never going to talk about MPSL Pro again. That's it.
That's it. We're going to be back to talk about our drink offerings next week.
So if we didn't answer your question and you still have some concerns when you're listening to this or, you know, things you're wondering, you can always tweet at me or Sean, and if we didn't address anything that you might not know and we may have some insight into it, let us know.
Right.
It's really hard to get to everything when you're trying to keep it within an hour.
Right.
Because there is a lot to talk about.
Right. Although we're probably like 90 minutes into this.
I think we're 90 minutes right now.
Yeah. So that's fine. Just relax.
We'll
what else are you going to do? You're driving somewhere, right?
Driving somewhere. You're listening to this in the background while you're writing.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you're cooking dinner. I don't know what the fuck you're doing.
I have to say that I have to go to the bathroom super bad.
So let's end it on that note.
I'm Sean Spence.
I'm Dion DeGennaro. And thank you for listening to WNGS Radio. Till next time, fuck Ohio.
Fuck Ohio.